The views of this program are not necessarily the views of KJLL Radio, its management, or its sponsors. The host is solely responsible for its content. Enjoy.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for your further listening pleasure,
direct from the golf course and onto your radio, this is...
Hello, everybody.
The Fred and Jeff Show.
And good afternoon, everybody. This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt.
And this is George Jensen, standing or sitting in for Jeff Ronstadt. So today it's the Fred and George Show.
It's the Fred and George Show.
Actually, Jeff's probably going to beat me when he finds out I said that. So,
no, yeah, I think he's listening. He told me last night that they would be listening live off the internet.
Oh, terrific. Are they? They're out on the East Coast?
Somewhere. in a location undisclosed.
Undisclosed location. Very good. Does he have a bunker?
They may have a bunker.
Oh, a bunker would be good. Yeah, although with a cigar, maybe not.
Yeah, and I know that there were some military activities going on because his son got bonked on the head.
Uh-oh.
He got stapled, like two or three staples in the back of his head.
Oh, my. I'm not sure I want to know.
Yeah, it's classified.
There
were some pictures just, I think the pictures were a forewarning to others who might,
try to get near the bunker.
Engage in some kind of nefarious activity.
Uh-oh.
Well, anyways, this is the Fred and Jeff Show, and we are indeed here live in the Jolt studio in beautiful Tucson, Arizona, and George Jensen from Jensen Consulting is here with me. And we've got to, we never give you good enough props.
Well, you do give me props, but this is probably the first time the listeners have actually heard what I do besides your website.
Is there anything else more important than a website?
No, there really isn't, but we may as well introduce a few other things. So I am responsible for the electronic companion to the Fred and George Show, Fred and Jeff Show.
No, call it the Fred and George Show.
I may be making that mistake more than once today. So Jensen Consulting is a small, somewhat of a boutique software design firm. I do custom websites. I have done the Fred and Jeff Show. I also did another very popular show here at the Jolt Studios.
But not as popular
as the Fred and Jeff Show. No, not near. On the Menu Live with Matt Russell is another site I've
built. And that broadcasts live here. Well,
live
actually,
here on
On the Jolt on Thursdays from 5 to 6.
On Thursdays from 5 to 6.
And actually, he's in studio this week, but typically he's out at restaurants all over this community.
He is frequently out at locations, so he's getting ready. He's gearing up for a big barbecue.
Right. Judging. Actually, the Z-Man, Alan Z-Man, is going to be in studio this week.
Oh, terrific.
Talking about ribs.
And that's huge.
It is monster huge. And I guess Alan gets flown in. On the way there, he's got caviar and champagne.
Oh, very nice.
And then when he gets there, they put the bib on.
He's barbecue royalty.
He's barbecue royalty. That's exactly right.
I actually wouldn't mind being barbecue royalty. Sounds like it could be a little bit of fun. So other than websites, I do a lot of custom database design. I work with a lot of businesses, some small, some actually very large, and in effect become their custom software firm. I'm their out-of-house IT department for things like association management, custom databases for customer relations management, custom billing packages, and so forth. So
that's sweet. Now, if you go to fredandjeff.com, which we highly recommend that you do, you can not only see who we've had on the show in the past, you can see pictures of our guests. You can also find, I think it's friend of the show, George Jensen or Jensen Consulting, and you click on there and it goes straight to georgejensen.com. And if you are in need of any boutique items.
Yeah, if you're in need of custom software development or just want to talk about your information management needs, I'm a good first point to talk to. If I'm not a fit, and many times I'm not, I'll be happy to steer you in the right direction. So that's kind of where Jensen Consulting is.
Yeah, and I think you have reasonable prices. I mean, we pay you cigars.
You pay me in cigars, so that door is closed for any other consumers, though. My cigar needs are being met. I won't tell you how Matt Russell pays me for On the Menu Live, but suffice it to say, we eat out quite a bit.
Yeah, well, George is very talented, and we appreciate all the hard work he does on the Fred and Jeff Show. Now, typically at this point in the show, we talk about some stuff going on, and we're really excited to announce that there's going to be a second chance to experience a drive-in theater again. The De Anza Theater, drive-in theater, closed a long while ago, and Charlie Spillar and a bunch of other committed folks have made it their mission to get a new drive-in well, I should say an old drive-in back in
bringing
town.
It back. And the Fred and Jeff show has really been kind of instrumental in moving that along.
Well, we're trying to help.
You've been vociferous supporters of them.
Thank you very much. But so they recently just had a show down at the Mercado off of Congress Street near I-10.
Oh, terrific.
And they showed Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs. And that was an old trivia question of ours because that was the last movie that was shown at the De Anza Theater. And
really?
For you know future trivia
for future
fans,
trivia questions
it's the first movie that was shown at the new Cactus Drive-In because that's the movie they showed about a month or so ago when they had their first setup over at the Mercado. Now it was so successful they're doing another one. So it's the second chance to experience a drive-in movie theater again.
Fantastic. And that's what is playing?
It's right? August 20th.
Ooh, coming
the
right
same
up.
Place. Yeah, the same place. We'll announce again next week and maybe get Charlie on to talk a little bit about it. But they're going to play Forbidden Planet.
Oh, the new one or the...
An old classic.
Classic.
The old classic.
Yeah, I think... actually, there isn't a new one. Sorry, I was thinking of a different movie.
Well, this was the one that was made in 1956 by MGM.
Oh, classic.
The classic. So on August 20th, you guys can go down to the Mercado office. I think it's the Mercado San Agustin, which is just a little bit west of I-10, south of Congress. And we'll have more information. It'll be actually posted on the website, friendjeff.com. And it will also, we'll probably get Charlie on next week to talk about it a little bit as well.
Fantastic.
Now, George, you do have one last responsibility before we go to our first commercial break.
I have the honor of talking about our sponsors here at the Fred and George Show. And we have big thanks going out to Barker Morrissey Contractors, Casa de la Luz Hospice, H&S Estate Gardening, Mayfield Florist, Monkey Burger, where Fred and I had lunch today in planning for the Fred and George Show.
Oh, yeah, it was very tasty
it was
as usual.
Fabulous.
And, you know, I love Roy, because I mean, it's the food there is great, but there's like this little touch. Like sometimes they have Tootsie Pops, and today they had Dum Dums.
They had Dum Dums there.
It was and I got a root beer one. That's my favorite.
Fabulous.
That might be a trivia question too later in the show.
Oh, very good. And right after Monkey Burger, we went next door to the Tinderbox for a cigar. So
and we'll be talking to Big Mike later. Yeah. And of course,
and our final sponsor is
your friends at
Ronstadt Insurance.
All right. So after this quick commercial break, we'll be back and we'll be talking to our guests, so stick around.
Barker Morrissey Contracting, our goal is to develop lasting relationships with each one of our clients. We measure our success on achieving that in the end. We offer the best possible combination of experience, integrity, and commitment available in Arizona. The foundation of our organization is a commitment to meet our clients' needs from pre-construction services through project build and move-in. We have experienced, cohesive project managers who thoroughly analyze each project prior to construction. We do this to provide value engineering at the front end of the project while reducing time-consuming change orders during construction. We are confident that our collaboration with you will result in a successful project that'll exceed your expectations. Barker Morrissey Contracting. Straightforward, honest, and reliable. Call us at 323-3831 to set up an appointment. That's 323-3831.
What's a monkey burger?
A simple, well-made burger cooked to your choice.
Why monkey burger?
We called it that because come see our art on the walls. It tells a story. Monkey Burger, where it's impossible to be a food snob, even if they do serve wine, beer, as well as Tucson's best burger. 514-9797.
Just drive right past Olive Garden on Broadway and Craycroft and park in front of Monkey Burger.
Do you suffer from irrigation leaks, a broken sprinkler, leaky valves, or you just can't find the problem? At H&S Garden, we provide high-quality, reliable service at reasonable prices. Our repair technician has over 25 years of experience. And if you hate pulling weeds, raking mesquite beans, or trimming those thorny bushes, just leave the dirty work to us. We're licensed contractors with 30 years of experience in landscape management. Our crews are professional and take pride in their work. We'll meet you on site to establish a program that works for you. Call today at 293-6488 or visit us at hsgarden.com. H&S Garden, a family-owned and operated Tucson small business.
Visit the Fred and Jeff Show online at fredandjeff.com.
Sunny summer day and I'm playing in the sandbox, you know what I'm saying. Cobra Commander's attacking the town. Where's my hero? He's nowhere around. Then I find out G.I. Joe's Mary Farming.
And welcome back. This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my celebrity co-host.
Celebrity co-host, George Jensen. So today it's the Fred and George Show.
It is the Fred and George Show. And we wish well to my traveling brother and his family off in the bunker somewhere.
The undisclosed location.
The undisclosed location. well, okay. So we put the show together, we wanted to really celebrate a lot of things going on in Tucson. You know, we've talked about things like the Sonoran Desert Museum, Old Tucson, stuff that, you know, fun things that people know about, some things people
roller
don't
derby.
Know about. Yeah, roller derby, the botanical gardens, the Tonachul, all sorts of fun things. But there's a lot of stuff that's going on that really doesn't get a whole lot of airtime and print space in the newspapers, but it's important stuff, and we want to, you know, really showcase it because you know, these things are important, and it's great to have community outreach. And with us in the studio today is Dr. Sydney Rice and Professor Jennifer Cassix from University of Arizona College of Medicine. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you.
Good to have you here. All right. Yeah, now, Dr. Rice, you work with the College of Medicine, correct?
I do.
Okay. And Professor Castor?
No.
She's not allowing me to say that. We should.
You're going to share the connection?
Full disclosure, you should know that Professor Castix is better known to me as Jennifer or Sweetie because she's my wife.
And Professor Castix is actually Jennifer Castix. I'm on the clinical faculty at Speech, Language, and Hearing Sciences at the U of A.
Yeah, but it says professor on your website.
Well,
now if you go to the Fred and Jeff Show, if you go to fredandjeff.com, this information is actually already posted up on the show, and I know that a lot of people are driving home, so
you know, don't go to fredandjeff.com.
Yeah, don't go to fredandjeff.com while you're driving home. But Dr. Rice and Jennifer were kind enough to spend some time with us. We're going to get to actually why you're here, but we want to talk to you about who you are first, and I don't know who wants to go under the spotlight first.
Okay, I'll go first.
So Jennifer, how did you get to the U of A? You know, what's sort of your background? And actually, you know, what Jeff loves to ask is, you know, how did you get to Tucson?
I got to Tucson because the U of A decided to accept me as a graduate student, which was very exciting, in speech and hearing sciences. So I moved here from Orange County, started working in the area of speech language difficulties, especially with children with autism. But I actually started doing research with children with autism in the mid 80s at the University of California in Santa Barbara. And the love of working with kids brought me here, and I was offered a job and just stayed. Awesome. So I love Tucson.
Yes, we do. Yeah, so on your resume, your CV on the website, talks about you were at TMC for a long while.
For almost 20 years.
Developing programs for kids.
Correct. Outpatient therapy programs for children with developmental disabilities, autism, and speech language disorders, and then inpatient programs with children with traumatic brain injury, prematurity, post-airway difficulties. And then I've been training graduate students from the U of A at TMC for quite a while.
Excellent. She's got a great smile. You can't see it on the radio. And we'll have pictures up. And Dr. Rice, you know, the one thing on your bio, which was most memorable, was the fact that you chase your children and husband around picking up after them.
That's always true. Yes, that's true. That's my job. Mom, where is it?
Which do you feel like has been better training for which? Your professional world has prepared you for your family world, or vice versa?
Oh, my family world trains me for everything. I am very empathetic with family. Any family concerns, I have the same ones.
Oh, and I know from what Jennifer tells me about what she does that's a huge, huge deal is when you have your clients clients come in, you know, for many cases, it's the families that are having, you know, some of the hardest times. So if you're able to bring some of your own personal experiences, and I'm sure it helps.
That's true. I mean, it, you know, really, if it, the stress of just raising children is difficult for, it's everybody. It's a stressful thing.
Regardless of where they're at on the scale of developmental disability.
Exactly. It doesn't matter. So if you've got kids in the house, you get stress.
Understood.
So, yeah. So.
So Dr. Rice, you came to Tucson, or actually, you're a native Arizona.
I'm a native Arizona.
And so how did you wind up here in Tucson at the U of A?
So I went to California to go to undergrad, and then I came back to Arizona to go to medical school, stayed here for residency. So I was here for a while for training. And then I wanted to get to do what I do right now, which is developmental pediatrics. So developmental pediatricians care for children with disabilities. And right now, most of a big part of what developmental pediatricians do is care for children with autism. So I went to Virginia for 6 years to receive training in that. So I lived in Virginia on the East Coast, survived the East Coast for 6 years, and then missed Arizona.
And couldn't wait to get back?
And I could not wait to get back.
Did you get a little claustrophobic with all those trees out
there?
That's
exactly right.
Too much green.
My husband and I, we kept looking for a place to live, and it was amazing. I just said, finally found a very tiny little house in the middle of an open meadow.
Yeah, that's some place where you can see distance.
There really was. And nobody there understood that.
They don't get it until you come out here and say, oh my heavens.
And you how do you tell directions? Why do you tell directions by the mountains? You can't see the mountains.
There's no mountains out there. And all the trees look alike.
Yeah.
So, that's you've got the desert in your brain
in
your blood.
Yeah.
So,
Well, let's talk a little bit about autism. I mean, both of you have mentioned that that's sort of your career path, your training, and your profession. Let's talk about, you know, what is autism?
So autism is a clinical spectrum. What's challenging about autism is that it's not just one thing. Every person who has autism, and there we're finding more and more adults who have autism too. So every person who has autism presents differently. Not everybody's the same. And what we actually are starting to realize and think about is that there are probably 100 different diagnoses that are autism that we all call sort of lumped together as the same thing.
Is it starting to get more common to hear it called autism spectrum related disorder?
Autism spectrum, the ASDs.
The ASD, autism spectrum
disorder. Exactly. So there it is. There's a true spectrum. And we put a lot of kids and families or people under that umbrella.
Yeah. I've heard in the industry, you know, I don't know if it's an old saw or not, but if you've met one person with autism, you've met one person with autism.
That's exactly true. It's really true. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. You'll see, you know, 5 brown-haired little boys who are 5 years old, and they're all completely different. See them on the same day.
Now, has that always been the case, or was there a time when it seemed more homogenous, for want of a better word? Was there a time when autism was autism?
No,
and it looked
I think
that
we just
way,
know more.
We just know more now.
We just know a lot more.
The public perception of autism, I think, is, you know, the Dustin Hoffman portrayal in Rain Man.
Right.
And that's not what it is.
No.
I mean, well, that's one.
There's a piece of it. Those savant skills, some people really do have those incredible, that brilliance. But some people are, you know, blend in much better than Dustin Hoffman did.
Savant doesn't equal autism, and autism doesn't equal savant. Sometimes they show up in the same place.
It's a lot of people who have savant skills are on the autism spectrum, but just because you're on the autism spectrum doesn't mean you have to have a savant skill.
Gotcha. So let's talk about the spectrum. I mean,
what is autism?
What is autism?
Yeah, so the most important part, there's 3 parts to the diagnosis, but the most important part is a difficulty with social skills. And that can be that just difficulty with facial expression, difficulty looking at people, difficulty showing your emotions, difficulty registering and understanding other people's emotions. And sometimes that's misperceived as difficulty that you don't want to be around people, which is not true. It's just difficulty getting it.
Mm-hmm.
And so then the second piece of autism is a language difficulty. That can be from kids who don't speak at all to people who just have awkward speech.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last piece is behavior. So that's usually repetitive behaviors, obsessive behaviors, and that can range from, you know, something very simple like, you know, repetitive hand flapping to an obsession where you do incredible and brilliant things because you know everything there is to know about weather.
So there's a little bit of obsessive I'm not going to say obsessive-compulsive disorder, but some of those same features or...
Some of those, yeah, there's some overlap there. And that's with autism. There's a lot of overlap with other conditions. And mm-hmm. so, but sometimes that's where that obsessive-compulsive thing gets you brilliance.
Mm-hmm. Certainly, yeah. I think we can all think back to people we've known who have been exceedingly brilliant, whether they've been teachers or what have you, and oftentimes their communication skills might not have been 100%, or they may have had some quirky behaviors. And is it fair to say that some of those folks have some or have some piece of the autism spectrum?
Absolutely. Okay. And that's now we're finding that a lot. And this probably happens with you too, Jennifer. We frequently families, they'll have one of their children is diagnosed with and being on the autism spectrum, they suddenly recognize in themselves or an aunt or an uncle, and they say, oh my goodness, it all makes sense.
Yeah, well, I mean, and I guess this brings up probably a relatively controversial question, but it seems that there's certainly a genetic component here.
It's part of it. Probably also some environmental things, mm-hmm. not environment as poisoning our children, but mm-hmm. but there are probably, and that's what we're trying to figure out now.
Sure.
But yes, there is. It clearly runs in families.
Mm-hmm. So there's some kind of potential of being nurtured into autism?
We don't
know. Like the nature versus nurture?
Well, there's a good piece of it is genetic, so it's the nature part. We're trying to sort out that nurture part. That's a little touchy because years ago, parents were accused. There was something called the refrigerator mothers. This is years ago, early in autism, and parents were accused of causing autism in their kids. That's not true. There may be other things, but it's not caused by how you're treated. Mm-hmm.
Is it possible though that environmentally there could be some triggers that bring out some of the genetic predispositions?
That's exactly right. That's where people are thinking. You know, and there's a lot of ways to think about this. But one would be in some conditions such as diabetes, if you have a genetic predisposition to get diabetes, and then there's a trigger, whatever it is,
you're going
to
present with all manner of symptoms. Yeah.
Then maybe you wouldn't, if you don't meet the trigger, you won't have it. Mm-hmm. But if you do, you do.
Yeah.
So we don't.
Two questions. Neurodevelopmental disabilities is really what we're talking about here. How much of that is autism? You know, in terms of.
Okay. Yeah. So neurodevelopmental disabilities are conditions, neurologically based conditions that cause a disability, but they can be all kinds of different things. A lot of times, most of the time, kids are born with these conditions. Okay. So cerebral palsy, learning disabilities, ADHD, so it can be physical disabilities, cerebral palsy, spina bifida, neuromuscular, mm-hmm. the muscular dystrophy, those kinds mm-hmm. of things, or cognitive, meaning ADHD, learning disabilities, okay. autism. You know, it used to be that we thought autism was very rare. It's so common now that it's becoming the big one.
Okay. Well, I've got one more follow-up question that I'm going to ask after we come back from the next break.
Yeah, we're going to move into our next break. And Dr. Rice and I'm going to call you Professor at Cassex. Jennifer, we really appreciate you being here. And when we come back, we're going to be talking more about autism. Have some really interesting questions, and then talk about a big project coming up. See you in a minute.
One day I had a dream that you were in.
CNN Radio, I'm Michelle Wright. Our top story, the U.S. could be calling for Syrian President Bashar al-Assad to step aside in the coming days amid the violence in his country. CNN's Fareed Zakaria is puzzled why the move took so long.
It wasn't ever clear to some of us why we were taking so long to do it when we were willing to say that Mubarak had to leave, and he was a pro-American regime who had been a friend of ours in the face of similar protests.
One activist group says more than 2,000 people have died in the security crackdown. The Dow rebounded sharply in trading, ending the day up nearly 430 points. That came after the Fed said it was going to keep interest rates near 0% until 2013. Polygamist sect leader Warren Jeffs was sentenced to life in prison plus 20 years today on his sexual assault conviction. He won't be eligible for parole until he's 100. And three people were injured after a building exploded and a roof collapsed in Los Angeles this afternoon. Yet, no word yet on the cause. This is CNN Radio.
With the price of gas skyrocketing, I'm glad the Sears Auto Center offered me advice on which types of motor oil can help reduce engine friction and improve my car's efficiency, which is something I could really use right now.
Head into Sears Auto Center for an oil change, brake inspection, and tire rotation for only $29.99. All that for only $29.99. Plus, save on all BF Goodrich tires through August 13th and get $50 back after mail-in rebate when you buy four. Sears Auto Center. Exclusions apply. See store for details.
At Walgreens, I'm not just a prescription. I'm Claire, and my doctor told me I have high cholesterol. Suddenly, I have to think about what I can eat, how much I should exercise, how often I'll take my new medication.
Every prescription filled at Walgreens goes through a 10-point safeguard check that reviews your current Walgreens health record for allergies and potentially harmful drug interactions, because we know you have a lot on your mind. To learn more about our 10-point safeguard check, talk to your pharmacist today. Walgreens, there's a way to stay well.
Mike Rowe here with Jim Twitchell, Senior Master Technician for Ford. Jim, a lot of people hear about the works and they figure it's an oil change.
No, Mike, it's not just an oil change. It'll cover everything that your car needs for a scheduled maintenance service.
Get the Works Fuel Saver Package for $29.95 or less with $10 rebate, only at your Ford dealer.
What doesn't it include?
That list is probably very short.
Glove compartment, you check that.
Up to 5 quarts oil, taxes, diesel, and disposal fees extra. See participating Ford dealer or visit FordOwner.com for rebate details through 8/31/11.
The Home Depot is powering contractors with a powerful new paint, Kills Pro X. Specially created for professional jobs, it sprays easily and dries fast, so you'll save time applying it. And since you don't have to visit a specialty paint shop to pick it up, you'll save time and money buying it. It's the name you've trusted for years, now in paint made for pros. Kills Pro X, only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot.
Casa de la Luz is Spanish for House of Light. That's what one needs when facing a terminal illness. A House of Light to provide comfort, support, and experienced hospice care during the end-of-life journey. The mission of Casa de la Luz is to provide superior care to patients and their loved ones so that they may complete their mission on this earth in comfort, dignity, and harmony. Founded in 1998 by Lynette Jaramillo and Agnes Poor, Casa de la Luz Hospice has become a leading provider of superior hospice care throughout southern Arizona. Whether it is in the hospital, at home, an assisted center, or a nursing home, the caring staff at Casa de la Luz will reach far beyond the usual and customary hospice service. Every service provided is a reflection of our commitment to our community. Casa de la Luz Hospice, because every day counts.
This is Lamont Hundley from Arizona Health with your Fred and Jeff Show fitness tips. When it comes to your personal exercise routine, balance should be the most important ingredient. It's easy to lose track of time during a workout. Often we end up doing more strength training, then your cardio gets shortened and there's no time to stretch. Balance is always the key to fitness success. You need an accurate portion of cardiovascular and respiratory improvement exercises, strength training, and always stretch before or after the workout. Just as a balanced diet is important in your nutrition, a balanced workout would help you achieve greater results. For more information, please contact Arizona Health at arizonahealth.com. This has been Lamont Huntley with your Fred and Jeff Fitness Tips.
Thank you for calling Huge Conglomerate Insurance. Your call is somewhat important to us. Please hold, and we'll be with you as soon as we can.
When you get sick or injured, the first call you make is to your neighborhood doctor. Shouldn't the next call you make be to your local insurance representative? Skip the hours waiting on hold to ask a simple question about what your insurance policy will cover.
Your current wait time is 45 minutes.
Instead, call Ronstadt Insurance at 721-4848 and get the attention that you deserve. Trust local, trust Ronstadt Insurance. Pioneers in good service.
May I light that cigar for you, sir?
Thank you.
And welcome back. This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here joined by my celebrity co-host, George Jensen.
It's good to be back. The Fred and George Show today.
And we wish well to our traveling brother, Jeff, and his family in the secluded bunker somewhere in North
somewhere
America.
Somewhere east of here.
Somewhere east. We can't even say that.
We can't say east of
here? This is somewhere in North America.
Oh. But I don't know. The bunker's pretty secure, so.
Well, okay.
It's somewhere east of here.
Anyways, you know, George and I, we mentioned earlier, we had a tasty lunch at Monkey Burger, and then we skipped over to...
We had a tasty cigar for dessert.
Had a tasty cigar, and online with us is Big Mike from the Tinderbox.
You should see the looks we're getting from our guests. Like, tasty cigar? A different stroke.
Yeah. So, Big Mike, how you doing?
Hey, guys. Hey, George.
Hey, Mike. How are you?
I'm good.
Mike's my cigar guy.
Every cigar is a tasty cigar.
That's some are tastier than others.
This is true.
Some cigars are more equal than others.
It's true.
So Michael, we obviously were at the Tinderbox, and the guy, we love calling him Shaggy, but he no longer looks like Shaggy from Scooby-Doo, but our good friend Jacob, who is very helpful, very knowledgeable about all this stuff, he told us that the cigar of the week is brand new, never been seen before.
It's new to the store. It's the Vega Fina.
Ooh, what does Vega Fina mean, Mike?
What's that?
It means beautiful Vega.
Fine Vega.
Or Fine Vega, yeah.
I think I knew somebody who drove a Fine Vega in the 70s.
Yeah. Nice Chevy flashback there.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's a newer cigar to the store. It's made by Altadis, the same people who manufacture Monte Cristo, Romeo, and Julietas, H. Upmans. And it's a little on the milder side. It's got a very light-colored wrapper, which is an Ecuadorian Connecticut shade wrapper. The binder on the cigar is Indonesian, and the filler is a little combination of three different countries, Dominican, Nicaraguan, and Colombian.
Oh boy.
Yeah, but it's not. They really didn't go heavy on the Colombian, which is typically a stronger tobacco. It's heavier on the Dominican side, which keeps the balance on the lighter side overall on this cigar. It's not overpowering.
So this is a good cigar following a light summer meal.
A light summer meal, it's a good morning cigar, if you can have several during the day. Or, you know, some people who just like smoking mild cigars all the time. Or if you're new to cigar smoking, you don't want to get overpowered in the beginning. This is a nice, very light cigar to even start off your, smoking cigar career.
Excellent. What kind of deal do you have for us on these fine cigars?
The deal is, as always, buy three, get one free.
Well, you can't do better than that.
Nah, I've got them in four different sizes, everything from a little Robusto up to a long Churchill, and just people come in, help yourselves. You can mix and match. You don't have to get the same size if you don't want. And as usual, buy three, get one free.
And as we tell people, make sure you get in early because these deals typically sell out.
They do. Sometimes they last a day, 3-4 days. Sometimes they last one day or two. There's no way to tell. So if you want to jump on the savings, come.
Rush
come
right
come
over.
Early. Yes.
And where do they rush to?
They need to rush to 5350 East Broadway Boulevard, Suite 124. Or if you want, please give us a call at 747-4807.
Awesome, Michael. And on the other side of this break, we're going to be talking with Dr. Rice and Professor Castix.
Thanks, Mike.
Charlie's Comic Books, Tucson's Mightiest, is at a new location, the southwest corner of Speedway and Craycroft. Open 7 days a week, Charlie's is a full-service comic shop. New comics, back issues, all your collecting supplies, action figures, t-shirts, and more. No subscription too small. Shipping available. Call 320-0279. That's 320-0279. Or click on charliescomics.com. Charlie's Comic Books, Tucson's Mightiest.
Hi, I'm John Fina from Performance Footwear, and a lot of people think that after I finished playing pro football, my health insurance would not be an issue. Not true. So when I needed a great health plan for me and my family, I called the folks at Ronstadt Insurance. They hooked us up with the perfect policy from Blue Cross Blue Shield of Arizona, and we couldn't be happier. So if you're shopping for health insurance, give my friends at Ronstadt Insurance a call at 721-4848. They'll be happy to help you. Oh, and when my mom and dad turned 65, my friend Jim at Ronstadt Insurance helped them find the right Medicare plan. Call the pioneers in good service at Ronstadt Insurance, and they'll help you buy the right policy the first time.
Ronstadt Insurance is a full-service insurance agency. Give us a call at 721-4848 or look us up online at ronstadtinsurance.com. Ronstadt Insurance is an agent authorized to sell health insurance plans from Blue Cross Blue Shield of Arizona, an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association.
You want to welcome back?
I'll welcome you back. Welcome back to the Fred and George Show, formerly the Fred and Jeff Show, and next week returning as the Fred and Jeff Show. I'm the co-host, George Jensen, and our host is choking. Our host is Fred Ronstadt.
Oh, hi, this is Fred Ronstadt. How are you doing?
We're back with Dr. Rice and Professor Castix. Who insists she doesn't want to be called Professor Castix. Clinical assistant professor working at the College of Science in the Department of Speech and Language Hearing. So, Dr.
Therefore, a professor.
I think professor, but, you know.
And see, the fact that she protests makes me want to say it even
exactly.
more.
Exactly. She doesn't know what she's wrong. So,
you're dealing with two very mischievous boys.
So. That's true. So I'm not calling her sweetie on the radio yet, though. So we're in good shape there. And we're also back with Dr. Rice, who works for the College of Medicine in the Pediatrics Department. Hey, I got that right.
So before the news break, we were talking about...
Autism spectrum disorder.
Right.
And we were talking about some of the symptoms of that. And I'm going to recap what I think I learned is that it is primarily found in... there are three major symptoms: a communication difficulty understanding others and really sensing what they're communicating, and in communicating yourself, a language difficulty, as well as a physical component. And we talked on the break, we were chatting, as we're not supposed to, but we were, and we talked about that the constant or the repetitive motion is called stimming. So, and I said I had a question earlier for you, and I'm going to kind of serve this up to the both of you. And I was leaning towards neurodevelopmental disabilities is the subject of today's program, because we're going to get to a very important grant that has just come in that you have worked on. But I was trying to kind of fish around and find out how big of a part of the big picture of neurodevelopmental disabilities is autism right now. Is it a component of almost everything you're looking at? Is it 50%? Is it 80%? What are we...
There's a lot.
Okay.
There's a lot. I don't know that we know a percentage. We look at rates of all the different disorders. The CDC tracks all of these different disorders. And the rate of autism has been going up. It's been more stable, we think, the last few years. But so it used to be rare.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's quite common.
Yeah, and that was my follow-up question, that autism used to be relatively rare. And... now it seems like it's very common, and the graph has basically been very steep in its increase. And I guess one of my questions is, are we better at diagnosing and understanding how many different things fit into the spectrum, or is it truly also increasing at the same time?
And we don't know yet. Okay. Clearly we're better at diagnosing, but is that the whole answer? We don't know.
We're
much better at it.
Okay.
Yeah, and we also know that other diagnostic criteria and categories have not decreased in numbers over the years significantly, like the autism numbers have increased.
So that would tend to recognize that there is an increase in that. So and I guess this is the perfect segue and lead into the main reason you're here, is to talk about the new grant and what impact that's going to have on Arizona, and really how much Tucson has somewhat led the way on it. So I'm going to let you open up with that.
Now, you know, we were joking earlier because it's called the LEAD.
It's a LEND
grant. But when we first got the press release, there were more than four words in that title.
A lot more.
Yeah. LEND stands for Leadership Education in Neurodevelopmental Disabilities. I think the full title is the Interdisciplinary Leadership Education Excellence in Caring for Children with Neurodevelopmental and Related Disabilities. So LEND is short for that. So
it's still not very short, but you know.
All right. Well, let's talk about what the grant is.
So the grant is a training grant. Okay. So with autism, with other neurodevelopmental disabilities, one of our challenges is that we're getting better at recognizing, we're getting better at diagnosing, but then we say to people, oh, you have this issue, and go get on a waiting list to go get some help. So because we don't have enough professionals to do all the work that needs to be done. So this training grant was designed to train people in 14 different professions.
Wow.
To work together, first of all, because in all neurodevelopmental disabilities, you have to be able to work together. That's one of the things that I think is the most fun about working on this grant is that we get to work together. But we have 14 different disciplines.
So what are some of those disciplines that are kind of, I assume they're all healthcare related, but some of those are pretty on the, not what you would consider to be core for neurodevelopmental issues.
Well, you want to?
Well, at this point, we have physicians, periodontists, dentistry, psychiatry, psychology, speech, speech pathology, physical therapy, occupational therapy. So almost a grouping of people that someone with autism, their parents would take them to.
So this is basically everybody a child might see during their developing years.
Also nursing. Okay. So
audiology.
And audiology.
And one of the nice things is we have a family member on our faculty.
Yes.
And that's is really been great.
That's what I've known about. I've learned a little bit about the grant from talking. It's not just pulling people in from the industry, so to speak, but you're going outside of that.
So. Right.
We say that again. You have a family member?
So we have 14 different faculty members, but one of the faculty, our faculty members is a parent.
Okay.
Of a child with autism.
Okay. So she's our family expert. So when we're talking about all of these professional things, she can say, hey, you guys, you're not getting it.
We haven't thought about it from the parents' perspective.
Exactly. Yeah.
Or don't forget to add, you know, yes, you've got a good start, but remember, you're only with the child, for an hour. This is what happens when we go home.
So one of my earlier thoughts on this, and we were talking before the show, and I asked Dr. Rice, I said, is it fair to say that some other grants tend to be very focused on awareness, and this grant is really focused on post-awareness? We haven't solved awareness issues, but we have conquered a lot of them. Now we need to do something about the problems that we all tend to be aware of.
You know, I agree, and also I think the community at large is more aware of autism. They see a child, they see a meltdown, their first comment may be, wow, that child is not behaving very well. Oh, I wonder if there's something else going on. The community at large is more aware that there are children out there with autism.
They're not writing off all behavior as standard discipline issues.
Exactly.
They're starting to say there may be some underlying issue here.
And they hear about places to go get help. They hear about the Autism Society. But then, you know, the family calls, or they call someone like me, a speech pathologist, and I say, great, I can see you in 6 months. Great, we can see you in a year. So, and we now have a rate of diagnosis of approximately 1 in 90 children in Arizona. Wow. So there is this huge need.
And the bottleneck to getting them services is largely a training issue. Is that a fair statement?
I would say so. Yeah, training more people. Mm-hmm. We have fabulous trained people out there. We need a clone. We need two clones for every person out there.
So we need to triple the size. And we're in an environment where there's people looking for work. So do we need to build some pathways towards that? Or is this largely a case of training people that are already in positions to open up their skill set or extend their skill set?
Absolutely. So that, you know, they may be great. They may be a dentist who is great in working with children, and now they can be a dentistry site friendly for children who are not typical and who need that extra support. And those families then know they have a place to go.
Terrific. Before we start talking about Tucson's part in this whole play, let's talk process and what really does the grant mean to the boots on the ground? What does it mean process-wise? What is going to go on? How long does it last? How much, I mean, can you talk about the dollars involved and what is it going to do?
Sure. So we have 14 faculty, 14 trainees this year, and we're over the next, it's a five-year grant.
Okay.
Each trainee will be with us for a year.
So we're talking about 70 people get impacted over the 5 years.
Well, and hopefully more, because each year we're going to grow.
Okay.
So this is our baby year.
Baby year is 14, and we'll try to increase that as we go.
Every year.
The idea that everybody you train is also going to...
They're going to go out, be leaders, and change the world.
They're going to be leaders and change the world and train as well. So there's going to be a, you know, we're teaching them to fish, we're not giving them fish.
Exactly. We're there'll be a multiplier effect.
Oh, okay. Fantastic. And so I'm one of those, say I was one of those 14 people. What am I talking about in terms of, is this going to be on the job training? Is it going to be classroom training? Is it going to be hands-on
It'll
exposure?
Be a mix, and you're going to work really hard.
Well, yeah, that's got, I mean, is this an extra hour a week, or are we talking extra
25
hours a week?
No. This is a lot of work. So we'll, as a group, all the faculty and trainees will be spending half a day a week together.
Oh, boy.
And that's the easy part.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll be taught, each of the different faculty members will do a couple of sessions throughout the year. So everybody, Jennifer's going to get to teach a couple of sessions, probably more than a couple of sessions, on communication. So this, our social worker trainees are going to get, they're going to know a whole lot more about speech and language after she's done with them.
She loves to teach.
She's good at it. And so, and then they have clinical things that they need to do. We're going to take them, they are going to spend some time on the Indian reservations, some time on the border. They're going to be in a neonatal intensive care unit. They're going to be
a lot of hands-on working with people that are doing,
absolutely,
providing this sort of care now.
And we're going to take them to different places and have people say to them, this is what we need you to do when you're done with this. This is very directive. We want to tell them show them where the issues are.
Yeah, this isn't just a field trip. You're not going to see
You're
going to learn how
you're
to
gonna
do
go
it.
Work.
And you're going to go do it.
And I think the hallmark of this grant is as much time you learn about clinical stuff, you get leadership training. The leadership training is absolutely extensive. I have done leadership training. I have provided leadership training. I want to take this leadership course. It is phenomenal.
Fantastic.
So you go through this training, and you're going to go out there and start a clinic. You're going to start a grassroots effort to change legislation. It's going to be amazing, the skills you develop.
And from my perspective, that's fantastic. I'm a graduate of the Eller College at the business school at the university. And so leadership training was, you know, our bread and butter, and it still is. And I sometimes marvel that there's so much talent in some of the academic divisions where I could see such a benefit from some leadership training, and I'm very excited to hear it's a big part of the grant and where it's going. Now, will the participants come away with a certification, with a paragraph on their CV? Is this going to be a big splash in their pond?
It is. They'll have a LEND certificate, and LEND, although it's not well known in Arizona, is really well known across the country. So when you have the LEND stamp of approval on your forehead, in the neurodevelopmental disabilities world, it's a huge stamp of approval.
So and it's not well known in Arizona, and you all have brought this here. I understand that it was very competitive to get this to Arizona, and it was something of a coup bringing this here. Is that?
It was very competitive.
Very competitive.
Yes, we. It was very competitive, and. In the past, there's big universities across the country who have had LEND programs for many, many years. And in order to obtain this funding, everybody competed again a couple of months ago. Okay, and several of the big universities had to get bumped off.
So there were some people that had some expectations that, you know, Arizona kind of came in and nudged Moy and said, "Hey, we've got the chops for it now.
Right. We're ready to play at the big boys."
Excellent. I'm glad to hear
now. Where are the providers coming from who will be trained this year?
So
is it all over the state?
All over the state. So we have faculty and trainees all over the state. We have four faculty at NAU, two trainees at NAU. We have a faculty member at A.T. Stills in Phoenix. One of our faculty members is from ASU. The rest are here from U of A. Both sides, we call it both sides of CV to A, both the College of Medicine and the other side of Speedway. And so we're all over U of A.
Those south of Speedway.
North and south
for
of Speedway.
For those who are not familiar with the university, the Speedway is more than just a geographical division.
Yeah. That's right. we are holding hands now. We're actually,
fantastic.
You know, it's really one of the things I think, what I've had a lot of fun with this grant is that I've been able to go across Speedway, and that's been fun.
Oh,
yeah.
Terrific.
Yeah.
So it's an Arizona-wide grant. It's an Arizona-wide program, but Tucson really had a big piece of it in getting it here and in...
Right. We're running it. And so the training director who has who's really the nuts and bolts of it is Dr. McGrath, Irene McGrath. She's a special educator, and mm-hmm. she has been running it. She's here at U of A, program director. And most of
developed the curriculum along with a team.
Right. So
now is that being focused out of the Steeles Children's Research Center?
So we're the Department of Pediatrics, and the Steeles Research Center is the research arm. So yes, we play a role in that, but we're under the umbrella of the Department of Pediatrics.
So this is a feather for all the folks around Speedway, north and south.
Everybody. But it's for the U of A.
For the U of A.
Yeah.
Lots of feathers in those caps. Yeah.
Well, and another neat thing is we have faculty and trainees from all over, so we're using telemedicine. Not great in the beginning, but we're learning. But we are going to be opening up distance learning for folks now who aren't going to get any other experience.
So are we talking telemedicine? This is like Skype on steroids, or...?
Pretty much. It's a big video screen.
Okay. Yeah. I'm familiar. It's a lot like what we do at the business college with some of our distance learning.
Right.
And,
we have all of our sites. Everybody's got a corner on the screen.
Oh, so now, is that going to translate into patient care?
Eventually, that's what we'd like to do, is that we'll actually be able to set up, we'll be connected with Douglas, and maybe we can do some evaluations either going there or by distance through the video.
It seems like distance care management, I don't know if that's the term of art for that, but it seems like that opens up the ability to see more patients and take care of a lot more people.
That's right. I mean, a lot
perhaps serve a lot of underserved populations.
Absolutely. Right. Yeah. Yeah. That really helps the rural areas.
Right. There are not a lot of Jennifers in rural Arizona. So.
Well, there's only one Sydney. So.
it's easier for you to get in front of a video camera than it is for you to get behind the wheel of your car.
Well, a drive for 3 hours or walk down the hall.
You also think about it, drive 3 hours there, 3 hours back. That's 6 hours of clinical time that's lost.
Yeah.
Well, if you're a brain surgeon, they need you on site with a scalpel in your hand. But if you're doing an evaluation, it seems like a video might be able to may be able to do that. And certainly from the training point of view, it really brings it out. So, what more would you like to tell us in terms of maybe the fawn steps? This is the first year, so how is this going to impact you just in the next 6 months?
We're putting together a curriculum. So the faculty are really working hard. And every week there'll be a different faculty member putting things together.
Okay.
Actually, next week we have a 3-day leadership training. So a retreat.
Okay.
All of the faculty members and all of the trainees are going off-site
to an undisclosed location.
Yes.
So leadership training, we're talking
some intensive,
presumably lecture, but probably a lot more,
Right. What is your chain style? What is your leadership style? Okay. All of those kinds of things.
Fantastic. Are you going to do a ropes course?
I would assume you guys aren't completely reinventing the wheel. There's these programs across the country, and I would imagine you're borrowing a lot of curriculum from the tried and true.
Well, some we were, in order to get this grant, actually, and I should acknowledge this, that we worked with with Utah. Utah does a lot of, we were trying to figure out how to do this in Arizona because of distance. We really needed to have faculty, and we wanted to engage the entire state. And there are not a lot of states. If you're doing this in Boston, everybody's there. So we needed to look across the country to see who could we emulate, and it's Utah. So we went and visited Utah. They came and visited us and really mentored us to get this done.
That's great.
Yeah.
Terrific.
Well, this is the end of our show, and we really appreciate Dr. Rice and Professor Kasich for being on the program with us.
Maybe we can have them back, a year
we'd love to follow up and see how
if you've made it.
Friend of the show, we have a friend of the show whose child has Asperger's, and this is real. We're all affected by this, friends, family, and it's great to know that this is going on in our community. Well, that's the end of the show. Good evening, Tucson.
Tucson. It's been a pleasure.
This is Tucson's Jolt.
Hello, you're on the air.
AM 1330. KJLL, South Tucson.
I'm doing this almost 50 years.
Art Cashin works the floor of the New York Stock Exchange, blown away by today's 430.